Hello and a warm welcome to the Mission Junior podcast. And here as always, your host Girish Shivakumar. We just celebrated the 50th anniversary of the World Earth Day this past week on 22nd of April. A series of posts was featured on the social media pages of Mission Junior. So in case you have missed that, do follow Mission Junior on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter. The handle is @MissionJunior. In recent weeks and months, we definitely can't miss the big story of the COVID-19 outbreak. So let's support the government, health and all other supporting agencies to win over this. Wherever you are, do follow the local guidelines and stay safe. The global COVID-19 outbreak has definitely had a big impact across the global economy, and the clean tech sector is definitely not immune to it. However, the situation has given us an opportunity to take a pause and reflect upon the various activities from around the world. So in the next few episodes, you'll as always hear interesting stories, but the focus will be around the clean tech transition during the times of COVID-19. So the series begins with a look at the solar rooftop space in India. The demand for solar rooftop systems picked up in the last few years, especially in the residential and industrial sectors in India. So the last few years also saw an emergence of startups. Many startups came up in the space. So the big question will be, who will win and who will survive when the situation returns to normal? The uncertain times throws up a range of questions. Will there be a demand and customer interest for solar, especially considering what happens when the dust settles on the COVID storm? And during the lockdown and during the downtime, what are the entrepreneurs doing to prepare for the battle ahead? So to discuss this and more, we have not one but two guests on the show today. Well, you'll hear more about their work during the chat, but a quick note about both of them. First, Harsha Kuntur. He is the founder and managing director of EcoSoch, a company offering solar rooftop solutions based out of Bengaluru in India. The company has designed and installed multiple solar rooftop projects in the residential and industrial clusters across various locations in southern India. Also joining me in the conversation is the founder and CEO of Sunvest Capital, Sishir Garamela. Sunvest Capital is a non-banking financial company, an NBFC. It is focused on providing access to capital for the solar rooftop projects across India. And Sishir is based in the Indian city of Mumbai, the financial capital of India. Both Sishir and Harsha have about a decade of experience each in building solar power projects in various capacities in their career. And I am very lucky to have known them for quite a few years now. So when I did have this conversation, I really enjoyed it. So without further ado, let's dive into the conversation. But before that, just a quick note. You'll hear the names of the utility and the electricity regulator during the chat. So it is a reference to the state of Karnataka in India and the capital city of Bengaluru. So let's dive in. Hello, Harsha and Sushir. Welcome to the Mission Junior podcast. So let's begin by getting to know you better. For the listeners, can you give us your brief background?
Hi, Girish. Thanks for having us here. It's a pleasure to actually to talk to the podcast, and this is my first podcast that I'm doing. So I am actually from a company called EcoSoch Solar. We actually are into solar rooftop business, primarily focused in Bangalore. And we have done projects in and around in Karnataka and few in Tamil Nadu. And our company is called Incubator from Aravalli, Pondicherry. So that's a brief about us. Probably I can talk more about during the discussion.
Sishir?
Yeah, thanks, Girish, for having us here. Harsha and I also go back a long way, so good to have him on the podcast as well. I'm Sishir Garamela. I'm the founder and CEO of Sunvest Capital. We are a company that is perhaps India's first dedicated financier for rooftop solar. Our mission is to try and make solar possible for every home and every business in India. And, over the last few years, we've moved away from a business model of installing finance to installing solar to financing solar. So in the last last 5 years, we were first an installation company with projects all across the country. But over the last one and a half year, we focused purely on financing, and we're working in very specific geographies. And one of them happens to be your city of Bangalore.
Thanks, Harsha and Sushir. And of course, for all the listeners, I've known both of them for quite some time, right from when I started in the clean tech space. And they're really interesting people to know, and they're really passionate with what they do. And the reason that I wanted to have them on this podcast is because no matter where you are, the COVID-19 situation is definitely having an impact in whatever you do. And clean tech space is no different. And being entrepreneurs in clean tech space, the challenges are even more different. So in general, entrepreneurs generally face challenges right from the word go. But under the current scenario, how does the challenge look like? Harsha, what's your take?
No, that's a whole thing with the current situation, right? It has brought us new challenges, of course, something that we have never seen before or anticipated. It was always a challenge about regular markets, whether they're going up or not. Now, unfortunately, this has brought the entire market down. So for us, as a clean tech space, and especially solar rooftop, we feel that next coming two quarters are going to be a little challenging for us, especially because a lot of people won't be spending their money on, you know, on something they find to be which they can postpone to the future time. Having said that, you know, we also see, I specifically see a lot of positivities in solar space, especially Indian government has been, central ministry has been really pushing hard and supporting a lot in the clean tech space. So especially solar rooftop and solar itself. I was in a call with, you know, one of the webinars with MNRE, and what I came to know is that they have not stopped any of their biddings for rooftop, solar in general. This year, I believe they have done for 34 gigawatts of biddings have already been done, which actually is encouraging because industry is not going to die. You know, maybe there will be some companies that could go down or go up or can wait or sustain for some time. But overall, the market space looks encouraging because, you know, the government is not backing out from this area. But the question is, some of these companies, including us, how we take up the work define us, you know, whether we would sustain for long. Few things, and I think which we can discuss later on. But overall, the market segment, I see that as positive in long run. There's going to be short run, there's going to be a problem, you know, for two quarters at least. You know, that's something that we are all prepared for.
Sushir, what's your take on the COVID-19 situation and what do you see as the potential impact?
You know, in the short term, I believe that while solar is a great asset for anyone to have, I think it is a highly discretionary investment, either residential or SME. So I do believe that given the high discretionary nature of the asset class and given that it's still fairly nascent in India, I am a bit concerned about how the demand will pick up for this particular segment over the next maybe 6 months, 9 months. However, the flip side is that I think COVID has taught us that, you know, we need to start focusing very actively on self-sufficiency and sustainability and sustainable living. I think one of the fallouts that might come and a positive spillover would be that people will take renewable energy and clean tech very seriously. This is my gut feeling. And if that happens, then maybe medium to long term, this could maybe be a blessing for us to rise up to the occasion and take this as a challenge and a wake-up call that we need to do something both for the environment as well as for the pocket. But in the short term, I do see stress. I see stress on the demand side. And I also, as Harsha mentioned, see stress on how many companies will be able to last this crisis. Because as you're aware that, you know, the industry is full of very small players. You know, the number of players in the downstream market, you know, which is installers and distributors and all of those, you know, system integrators, ones that are between 1 to 50 employees, that size, there are many, many companies like that. And those are the companies that will be very hit really hard. So it will be a test of resilience to see who's going to push out of this and come out of this. But I think the story in the long term still stays. know, the sun's still shining, factories will come back running, electricity will be saved. So I'm not worried about the long term or the medium term story, but in the short term, we all have to really focus on survival.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think one of the things, Sushil, is also, you know, the funding availability, right? I mean, you know, this is sort of a major challenge for some of the projects to take off. Many of the our customers whom we were talking and we almost closed orders, they, you know, at the time, even before the shutdown, right? I mean, we're just on the verge of closing the order. The customer said, you know, I don't know whether I'll survive myself and I have to hold my money for some time. So he actually said, we'll wait and watch the situation and see whether, you know, if things work out, we'll go for it. It's a fairly big project. And I think that availability of funds, and I think also the government is pushing, you know, the RBI's recently announced that asking all the banks, they reduce the reverse repo rate, you know, assuming that the banks would pump the money back into the market. We don't know how that's going to play itself. But that's a bigger space, and that's actually to do with Sushil's turf, you know, the financial sector. And what we are saying to our customers is, if the banks are open, and if the companies have got a long term outlook, we are saying, you know, go for at least with a loan model in the short term, you know, and so that you can do it. The second aspect, and one of the things I was saying also why I was a little bit positive, is that I just came to know today morning, in fact, that Karnataka state rooftop policy, for example, had actually expired on March 31st. Last year, it took them 6 months to get a new policy renewed. Today, I spoke with the KRC and I came to know, for example, that they said they have extended the state policy till a new policy comes, which could be probably 3 to 4 months later, which is a very good sign, because that's actually the government is backing the solar. For me, that was a very positive note for the day, in fact, that government is backing renewables. And that's to point with what Sushil is saying. You know, people do understand that renewables is a thing going forward. And I think this government, fortunately, the central government is really pushing all the DISCOMs also to really support. And as a matter of fact, they have actually made renewable services as essential services now. So people actually can start working, doing the operations part of it, starting today. You know,
That's interesting to know about the positive side of the policy and regulatory side from the Karnataka government. I'm sure, like, even the Indian government has stressed that the targets are not going to be revised, and we are going to have the same aggressive targets for 2022 and beyond. So, Sushil, at this point, I would like to direct this question to you. The last few years, especially in the clean tech space, in the solar space, we did see a lot of financial instruments come into play, be it for the large-scale projects or even small-scale rooftops for residential or even the commercial and industrial clients. And you also offer solutions in this space. How do you see this space, like the financial instruments, shape in the next few months? Would you be more conservative?
From an underwriting point of view, definitely more conservative. I think you have to appreciate that there has been stress and in the you know, financial statements of many companies. And when that happens, the ones that were just about on the green side now may be looking at, you know, being on the red, right? And I think financiers would look at their cases with a lot more in-depth now and, you know, with a lot more rigor. Having said that, I think I agree with Harsha's point of view that and yours as well, Girish, that if people were to go solar or people were to take any cost cutting initiative like going for renewable energy options, I think there is no better time to provide financing solutions than right now. If you are going to go for it and you may not want to spend away from your core capex into some non-core items like solar, then perhaps financing solution is the right way. So I think the demand for financial solutions will only increase. I think on at least the financing front, there has been less of action over the last few years, especially in the small-scale solar market. I mean, India has seen a lot of OPEX and PPAs for well-rated companies, but, you know, short-term loans and leases are still products which are yet to be tested. The market's not deep. So I think a market's going to pick up for that. So that's a positive upside. But everything really stems from the demand side. And the demand is, you know, we are in an industry where a person would want to go buy solar first. Then they would think whether I can afford it or not, or should I go get a loan, or should I get a OPEX. So first comes the product, the desire for the product, and then comes the willingness to finance it or not. So if the very first thing is there, then perhaps it makes sense to think of the second question. But if the very first demand itself is not there, the interest, and that is something that we'll have to wait and watch. I'm just taking a little bit of a cautious side because you know, you don't want to come out of this all guns blazing and trying to install everything and anything possible. But I think it'll be interesting to see how you know, how the consumer behaves and coming out of the COVID. And obviously, everyone, it's given a long time for everyone to think of you know, choices that we've made. And but if yes, they come out with a big bang demand, then I think the financial services for this space is going to tremendously increase. There's a lot of latent capital sitting there waiting to be deployed. Even people like us, we've taken some time to build up the company in terms of processes and understanding the product and what the customer really wants and how to position that. We're working with installer partners across the country, across the certain cities, such as EcoSearch. So we've got a lot of feedback. And just when we were really about to go gung-ho, you know, COVID hit us. So while that is unfortunate, I think it's critical that we brace ourselves for the medium term and how we're going to make a recovery out of this rather than worry about the next 6 months, because we all have been in this too long to just really worry only about the next 6 months. I think Harsha would agree to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like one more just positive note, Sishi, to yours. To start with, one of the negatives of the COVID is that, you know, a lot of these power producing companies, you know, they may not, the distribution companies may not be able to pay the money to the power producing companies, right? I mean, if the C&I comes down, you know, the intake, which also means that if the demand goes down on the C&I, the problem is today, most of the cross-subsidy surcharges that are being paid are subsidies are being paid is by the C&I, you know, for the distribution company. Now, if C&I goes down, the ripple effect of that actually is the price of electricity, which is a cross subsidy, actually the tariff rate should go up to pay for someone else, right? In this case, the agriculture and the domestic customers. So my expectation is that in short term, the price of tariff could fluctuate quite a bit. And that is also an impetus, I think, for companies which are actually sustaining, you know, which have doing well. For example, pharma industry might actually do pretty well in next few months to next few years. They might actually think immediately to go for solar because they have got the money. They also see the long term, the cost of electricity going up. And one could actually talking to these customers to convert and go solar purely on economic reasons, not necessarily even to global warming or climate change, right? I think there are spillover effects, you know, that would come out of this. But the market overall would come down, drastically. So what we do business might come down, but it may not be a complete zero. You know, we might still do some good amount of business. The only reason I'm saying is also the government policies are supporting solar in general and solar rooftop as well, because solar rooftop is one of the worst hit in this segment, in the solar. So on the positive note, we will be able to probably close some orders. The overall market might, the market share could come down by 20-30%. From last year to this year. So that's on both positive and negatives.
That's an interesting perspective, Harsha. And as you rightly said, customers, commercial and industrial customers, are generally the ones, especially in India, paying the higher rate for electricity, and they kind of cross-subsidize the agricultural demand and the domestic consumers. So with industries kind of not performing at their peak, their consumption could be lower and the distribution companies could actually face the wrath and they would not be able to pay their dues for procuring power. And on one side, this might also reduce the overall consumption of electricity in the entire sector. But at the same time, as you mentioned, some companies might do well, and that could actually, in fact, create more demand. Although that quantum of demand might be less compared to what would have been actual in the business as usual scenario. Now, moving back to, again, the idea of like clean tech entrepreneurs are generally the evangelist for the space. I mean, both of you have been in the space for quite some time and long time, in fact. And you had to be an evangelist advocating the benefits of solar and talking to customers and educating that. And it took a long time because it doesn't come easy. Educating people doesn't come easy. And for them to understand the economics of it and the benefits of it takes a long time. But now with this scenario, do you think all that kind of education and all that kind of prepping up the customer is kind of reset to an extent?
Okay, so not fully though. I mean, to tell you, Girish, I mean, we've been doing webinars, and yesterday we did one. Actually, Krishi was kind enough to actually join the webinar and talk to some of the customers who were interested in going for solar. Maybe not now, but later. So the education part, I mean, people are in terms of the knowledge space and reaching out to people, I think that has only the medium of reaching out has changed. And then we are able to still reach out to the people. But in terms of how many people would be interested would have come down drastically, of course, you know, that that is not there, at least, because we are in the midst of lockdown. We are not able to see that, impact directly now. But we are having, in the webinars, people are attending quite a bit. You know, I think we have reached out to almost, if I just say, around 200 people, you know, in the webinars in the last 3 weeks.
Sushir, would you like to add to this?
Yeah, Girish, I think, where we started was a concept, right? Many years back when we started out, there was no net metering in the country. There was very little actually in solar at that point of time. From there today, till today, there is obviously a very different, I mean, everyone at least knows one person who's gone solar and they have good or bad stories, but they have some stories, right? So there is some data points there. My challenge is, are people waking up in the morning and saying, this is a great thing for me and should we do it? See, all these businesses, including ourselves, when we make a business continuity plan, we look at scenarios and we look at places where we can cut costs. I think we've proven time and again through our own businesses in our own ways across the country that going solar is a great way to cut costs and finance it however you want it. That's more of a financing topology, but reality is that this investment, if done with the right installer and, you know, with the right equipment and with the right kind of financing, it is a very good one, perhaps arguably one of the best investments that you could make from a purely return perspective, economic return perspective, right? So despite knowing that, are we in a place where people are, still sort of coming out and proactively searching for solar in the industrial space? I don't think so. I think one of the things that you need to think of is that the market that we operate in is, if I were to give you a sense, in the MSME space, we're in the micro and the small kind of a space, more of a small and perhaps a smaller side of the medium as well. So we are not talking about large enterprises here, right? So the large enterprises have a very strong ecosystem for developers, etc. But the smaller ones, I think solar is still fairly new and people still don't know enough. And we've done a lot of industry presentations and we've done a lot of industrial cluster work. And a lot of that is ongoing. A lot of that is very important. But I think there is still a lot of work to be done. So from a demand perspective, you use the word evangelism. I think that evangelism is not over yet. I think we've come a long way. But and it's a great place to be right now for someone new starting out compared to where we were. But looking back, I would feel that we would have expected more of an uptake by now. And if that uptake has still not happened, then it is upon us as industry players to sort of go out and get into these clusters and get into these industry associations and play a very strong role in advocating solar. And to that extent, I think Harsha works very closely with KERC and the Karnataka local DISCOMs, etc. I think some of those interventions from local players is also very critical because you know, when you when the same set of people show up, it shows confidence and passion that you know, these people are here for the long run, and we should listen to them, and we should take that you know, discussion out to our industry colleagues and tell them about the possibilities. So evangelism, yes, but still a long way to go. I think compared to what potential we have and what kind of ambitions we have, there's a lot more of evangelism and education that needs to be done.
And to add to that, I think that has to be done irrespective of COVID situation itself, right? I think that we have to do, I think, for, you know, for a large number of people. Just to give you one statistics on the number of rooftops, for example, in Karnataka is 2,200. Actually, not in Karnataka, but under BESCOM, right? And BESCOM is a major chunk of rooftop systems in Karnataka. They have around 2,200 systems in the entire BESCOM. You know, considering the number of businesses, the number of residentials, houses that are there in Bangalore alone, this number is very, very meager. So you can understand, I mean, in terms of, as such, the awareness is less. But I think, you know, pre or post-COVID, I think that evangelism of reaching out, I think that has to be done in a long run. I mean, I think we're talking about next 3-4 years itself. Yeah.
I think very early in our journeys, we realized that, you know, for good or for bad reasons, we're trying to build a new category. And whenever you try to pioneer something, you know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of patience. Obviously, there's a lot of reward as well if you're successful. However, it takes a lot of time because behavioral change and shifting mindsets and figuring out the drivers, you know, we like to believe that environment could be a driver, but really it's not. You know, regardless of how much we speak about climate change, eventually for the Indian businessman, and why shouldn't it be, right? It's about an investment, and they're hoping to get a good return on investment on that particular bet. So I think the behavior change, the shifting in mindset, and adoption of clean energy is something that is something we still talk about very often between our own industry circles to see how we can sort of you know, maybe affect policy or advocate this further.
That's actually interesting points, especially the idea of evangelism. It has to continue irrespective of the COVID situation or not. And as you said, like, it definitely takes a lot of time to actually have this kind of mindset and behavioral change in the mind of the consumer. So it takes time. But now, if you were to look at the bigger picture, look from outside the entire industry, last few years did see a lot of startups in this space come up. And actually, to some players, it also brought out a lot of price war and the idea that you have to scale up fast to have to do that. So do you think if companies were given an opportunity to do something different, anticipating some scenario like this would come up, would entrepreneurs like you would have taken a different step, made positioned better? Or do you think clean tech startups in the last few years went overboard in doing some things that they could have actually done it better rather than go to price wars and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think irrespective of post-COVID, you know, looking at the COVID situation, right, I think any startup company which is doing in the service industry, they should be really looking at doing a fine quality installations with the fine quality equipments and look at the best interest of the customer in long run, especially in solar, which is there for 25 years. And our philosophy has always been that, you know, we don't get into the price wars and we would do the best. So we, a lot of times we don't even bid, and we never bid it for a government project, especially in the rooftop space. Primarily because, you know, the quality, when you look at 25 years lifespan, especially in solar industry, I think people who have betted on a price war and gone lower price, even though you can't reach out, I think those companies would eventually shut their businesses. Because in times like COVID, you know, you are questioned with everything, right? You know, your systems, your quality, everything comes into play. You know, the systems which are not being maintained, they're going to eventually suffer. And if you don't have enough bandwidth in your own company to take care of the systems in long run, I think you're doomed to fail, right? I think What my take is always that whether it's in clean tech space or, you know, e-commerce space or anything, I think the only companies that could survive always in long run is not the companies that only look at price. Well, price is important, but those companies which look at the quality, and then you are able to deliver the quality and the at a price that is affordable, I think that's a win-win for everyone. I think going forward, I actually see that the price war, more than the price war, I think the quality would come into play. Many companies do, I anticipate that they will close down. You know, people who don't have enough capital with them, liquidity with them, and they've been going aggressive on their prices, you know, that probably, you know, unfortunately, they would probably see on a bad side of COVID.
Sushir?
I think that's a great question. I think I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I feel that, you know, your business, whatever, regardless of solar or any of that, your business should be unit economics positive, scalable, and differentiated, right? These are the three key elements to a successful startup, in my opinion. Obviously, it helps to have large pools of capital backing you. But if it's one of those, not one of those three things, then, you know, a large amount of capital will also not be able to solve you, solve for you. You know, one of the things that I've noticed is that it's much, much harder to scale a service-oriented business. So to be able to do that, let's take an example of Starbucks. You know, you are from the heart of South Indian filter coffee. So you would understand that it's perhaps not the coffee that itself is unique or differentiated, but it's the service levels at Starbucks, which is unique, right? And the way they've been able to scale that up, the way they were unit economics positive, and it's still a brick and mortar business. It's not a digital business, right? I think what I feel is that these three things will have to be necessary regardless of solar or coffee or any financial services or any other form of business if you're starting out today. What I would also like to add is that, you know, the people who've been around for a while and who are genuinely passionate about this field or want to do something sincerely, regardless of whether they will survive past COVID or not, there is a sense of long-termism in the way of in the way they think. You know, to install 300 or 500 projects like EcoSoch did just in the city of Bangalore or around Karnataka, you know, requires a certain amount of discipline and rigor. And like that, there are many other local companies that have done hyper-locally very well. What I'm trying to get at is, if you have that kind of commitment and discipline and you don't fall for these price wars, there is an inherent long-termism in your DNA of the company, which will also be the one that will push you through these problems. Some way or form, you will figure out a way to survive COVID. And, you know, if you don't, no problem. At least when you played well. But you will come out of this. I'm very confident that people who've been around for a while and who understand the value of unit economics and not falling for that quick buck or the quick negotiation there for price, I think will survive this. However, the, you know, the fly-by-night operators who are opportunistic, I think they will make money in the short term. They have in the past. But I don't know in the long term whether they can really scale their business on, you know, because there is really no differentiation. Price cannot be a differentiation business, I think. And it's regardless of which geography you're in India or abroad, I think it is a fundamental thing that price is not the only thing that people buy. There are so many other things that, you know, go in a deal, right? And so, yeah, my view is that, you know, sometimes shakeups like these are also important to see that who has the wherewithal to hang in there, which is why I think the mantra today for any startup or anybody, including ourselves, and I'll be very humble about it, is survival. If you can survive through COVID, I think you've done a very good job as a company, regardless of whether you're a startup or a large organization.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's a good way to put it. I mean, respect of COVID or not, you have your own long-term vision and the long-term perspective in the industry and what you want to do. I think that answers most of the things. Now, before we get to the final part of talking about the bigger picture, assuming the current scenario, I mean, it's actually a tough scenario for everyone around. You did mention about having webinars, talking to people and still continuing the evangelism. What are the other things that you're undertaking during this period of lockdown and just to ensure that you position yourselves better when the market opens or want to create the market in the next few months once everything settles back to normal?
No, we're doing a lot of introspection on what kind of segments that we can just evaluating at this stage what kind of segments, what kind of financial products that we could come out with. We know what we don't know. So we know the few areas that we understand, and there's the whole world out there that we don't understand, and we wouldn't want to venture into that. So in the little domain that we understand within the clean energy space and the financing space, we're trying to see if we could come up, open new segments or new products. And I think some part of time is going there. I think some part of time is also going in planning the business over the next 6 to 9 months and how things are going to look. You know, we're in Mumbai, so physically we're obviously in also a sort of a red zone here, and some of the logistics challenges also play a key role into how fast you can come back into the market. The third is the financial services space itself will assess this situation differently from, just the solar industry. So being, having one leg in the financial services space and the other in the solar space, I think we'll have to weigh some of those things. So that's really where the time is being spent as to, what will come out of COVID and how are we best. And to be honest with you, I think a little bit of rest as well. I think we've done a lot of work over the last so many years. So this is a good amount of, good downtime to have and reflect on the journey thus far and, be a little fresh for the war that's ahead or the work that's ahead.
Well, I definitely take that point. Because a lot of people have in fact told me that, this is the longest time as anyone has stayed in at home. Stayed in one city. So I think that's true for most of the entrepreneurs like both of you. So Harsha, what are you doing now?
Yeah, no, I'll start with the same thing what Shishir mentioned nicely. Introspection and, really be able to look at what we have done and what we could do and where we could make an impact. Of course, that's being done. That's a primarily important point. In terms of the company level, a few things, what I call as optimization of the resources. So far things have been okay, and people can come meet each other at office. You travel to meet a client. Take 3 hours to go there in Bangalore sometimes, 2 hours to go there, and then come back. Pretty much your day is gone, right? So thanks to the technology, post-COVID, I think that's something, if this same thing has happened 10 years ago, probably we won't have been in the same situation. But now that it has happened, technology is available for us to use and to make contacts with the customers. We are trying to really optimize on, going to an extent to even quote the customer, even without even ever stepping into their premises. So optimizing of, on the sales part, right? Then internally also, a lot of things people in the service industry would take it lightly with, putting things in Excel or writing on the chalkboard. Again, we are completely gone to systems now. Everything, all our processes, we moved into systems. So people literally tomorrow, we don't need to work from office at all. We are completely could go office-less except for our logistics and, getting the materials onto the site. So a lot of that work has been done, which is a very good thing. And it's always been my plate to get that happening fast enough in our office. Thanks to COVID, we could really look back and then do those changes in a much faster way. The second is literally adapting to the changing scenarios. We have no idea. For all that optimism that I have, I still don't know how if COVID does continue, the lockdown does continue post May, how are things going to be? How are the fallouts going to be, after 2 months of lockdown? And would it, still we don't see any anticipation of vaccine coming in, and we still live in this world, where everyone is afraid of any contact. So how does that work out? And what are the businesses that could come out of it? So a lot of new business ideas the teams have come up with. And, either it could be reaching out to the new customer segment, as Shishi was saying, or new product segment itself, launch onto it something totally different that we have not done. But also look at health and hygienic part how does that play into clean tech space, right? And, you know, again, there could be some new ideas that could come out of that. So there's a lot of thought process is going into that direction as well. The third, but not the least, this is a time that we are very actively working with, you know, reaching out to more partners. The point is, you know, I don't think EchoSearch by itself or any startup can do all these build things, you know, post-COVID. I mean, you know, we are in new normal. And in new normal now, we need to also look at how you collaborate with different companies, different spaces, in sometimes even the same solar companies, right? Maybe in a different geographical locations, how do you partner up with them and do certain things of sharing your resources between them, but doing it at a much more optimal level, which I was saying the first point, or optimizing your resources. I think these three are continuously happening with us. I mean, this is something I don't think we'll stop. We've started it. We've always been looking for good partners. I think we're going to go all out on the building our the partners and the business side, as well as in the consumer side. So that's these three are very much happening. The last one, of course, you know, as a company, we want to cut down our discretionary expenses. I think that's, we got to do this. You know, it's the best time that we could cut down expenses, and hopefully we can do a better service at a lower cost to help the end customers, you know, so that, you know, you're setting a new baseline for everything. I think solar would also get a new baselines, you know, your installation cost or the material cost. That's another point is that, you know, the supply demand is going to come down. So you also know that the component cost would come down. So there's a lot of work has to be done in that, relooking at our costs and how we place ourselves in the market. So broadly, I mean, these are the three things, Girish, that we are, more or less we are working on.
Those are really interesting, Harsha, especially the final point on working about around the system and what you're doing to see that, ensure like you better optimize the cost and offer better services, leads me perfectly to my final question, which I had in mind for the bigger opportunity to collaborate, not just amongst partners, but as an industry, as a clean tech industry. I mean, crisis brings out the best in people, because entrepreneurs by themselves are really smart people, but they wouldn't have found time to collaborate and have a better representation. Sushir brought this topic briefly for an earlier question, but do you think something like that coming up, where what can be done, like how, if startups, clean tech entrepreneurs come together, what can you do better to make sure the new norm that the COVID throws up is actually better and is actually more beneficial to everyone involved? You don't get into price wars, but you have more market and you have a better ecosystem to play in. So what can the industry do in such a scenario, and what's happening on ground? Sushir?
Yeah, I think, I mean, free market, right? Everyone gets to compete, and I think we can talk about all these good things, but there will be people who, price wars would be there, and even in the future as well. I do feel my learning from observing financial services industry, and looking at those parallels in solar is that, and this is largely because solar is still a very new kind of industry in India, small scale solar especially. But I think in financial services, the industry is so large and deep that within the value chain, everybody knows what roles they play and what their strengths are, and they stay in that zone rather than wanting to do everything. I think solar, to that extent, I've seen people would want to, try to do everything across the value chain. And hence, we build many companies that are alike, as opposed to collaboration, and we compete rather than collaborate. Having said that, if you're in this game, you're probably ambitious. So how much do you want to really work with others, and how much do you want to do for yourself? All of that aside, I think that's human nature. But I think definitely one of the things that I think of is that one of my old industry colleagues within this, I mean, in the same field as ours, another installation company in Mumbai, their founder had told me a while back that we should open some sort of a small-scale solar industrial association for policy advocacy. And, now I look back at that thought and I feel that it would have been a perfect time for us to have more people like Harsha and myself talk about this, put it on a charter, or put it, you know, put this on a piece of paper and go to the government as a government or the regulators or whoever is in the position of power and represent an industry, right? If you look at the representations that we have at the moment are largely either the big developers or the large CNI players. There is really nobody in the small CNI market. I agree that dollar to dollar, this market is still not very deep. But you would have to give us the fact that the number of people that we employ, you know, lots of companies, few employees, but lots of per company, but lots of companies. And so that is, there is a lot of good deed that's being done. So representation is very critical. And perhaps now I feel, looking back, that those steps have to be taken so that next time, you know, we are hit, God forbid, not anytime soon or never, but if you're hit with something like this, then at least we have an industry body that can stand up for us, or we can stand up for ourselves. So apart from that, I think we're still brainstorming as to how we can collaborate more. But definitely, I think moving to tech, moving to digital, anybody who's willing to enter the space, I would say, please keep your services as asset light as possible. And solar is largely, for that matter, clean energy. The last mile is very brick and mortar. But if there is anything in the middle that has a technology aspect that you can cover up, you know, through your discovery or innovative ideas, then focus on that, because scalability is very critical and the market is very big. So that's really my thoughts on collaboration, competition, and coming together in the time of crisis.
I agree with you. And I think the one point that Sushil brought it is that having a representation, right? I mean, that brings along your own ecosystem, you know, within that space, the little ecosystem that you have. Maybe it could be the rooftop, small, you know, C&I stuff. You know, I think having that tribe, you can call, which could actually helping each other at a time of crisis is very, very important. And I think going forward, you would see your companies, you know, other companies, are including our company, there could be services that we might actually need help from other ones, because we are not able to cater to that particular client in that locality. And it's very important to build those partnerships to be able to do it, and also represent at a broader scale what we do. And I think especially the crisis always brings the companies together, you know, I and people together. I think that's going to be the norm. I really hope that many companies can work rather than compete. Competition is good for the market. That's the market to decide. But at a human level, you know, as an aggregate, if you see, it's only when each of us help together, the market in long run would sustain.
Again, valuable points from both of you. And by looking at this from a neutral point of view, like what I'm doing, I mean, I'm at least happy that entrepreneurs and people like you are really at least interested to come out and talk about this. I mean, COVID-19 has been the biggest crisis that we could actually see in our lifetimes. But the big point of, I mean, it's tough for everyone. It's tough for entrepreneurs especially. But coming out of this and talking about it is definitely something, a positive sign in itself. So thanks for that. Any final thoughts from your end?
I would say, I mean, very simply, you know, all these businesses, you know, being an entrepreneur, all these are secondary, you know, when it actually comes to your health and health of your family, health of your society and the country. And I think that's very foremost important. All of us has to keep ourselves healthy, safe during this time, and also be optimistic. COVID is not the only one which has happened to our world. It's not the only thing that would ever come. You know, there will be future COVIDs also, and there were COVIDs in the past. But every time human spirit has always won, we always went past this. I think this is one of those things. And I am optimistic that we would definitely come out of it. Short run, yes, we do need to make sacrifices, but that's okay. You know, we all are in it. So I think my final say is just stay safe, stay healthy.
Sushir?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Harsha. I think, you know, it's clear to us that platforms like yourself, you're doing a great job with your podcast, and these are, I think we need to do more like things like these and probably be have more podcasts and get people more together, especially at this time, hear each other's perspective. Because I think relationships and health and, you know, there are a lot more fundamental things than just business. And business is important and it's critical. But, you know, some of those other things are very, very crucial to a great quality of life. And I think to me, this is catching up with two old friends. And I know you for a very long time, the both of you. I know the kind of passion you have for the space. And, you know, we reciprocate that. So overall, I think it's a very good feeling to be here. So thank you very much, Girish, for having Harsha and me here. I can speak on his behalf as well. And look forward to, you know, doing more of these. And perhaps, you know, I will end also saying the same thing that Harsha said, that, you know, stay safe, be positive and keep the faith, because you know, the only thing that matters at the end is belief.
Well, thanks for summing it up well, Sushir. And yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure to have known both of you for quite some time, and really happy. I mean, just like a normal time, I just called both of you and I said, like, what do you think of the current scenario? And glad that it's ended up on being a podcast episode as well. So yeah, I'll try to do my best, try to get more people and more conversations happening. At least the best is that we get different perspectives and talk about the challenges that we face. And ultimately, like as you have both previously said, I mean, crisis is temporary, but the human spirit is permanent, and I'm sure we'll win over this. So thanks again for taking time to do this, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Girish.
Thanks, Girish. You know, thank you for the opportunity, and absolutely rightly. I mean, this is incredible what you're doing and your work. I think bringing the different perspectives from the across various industries and across the clean tech space, I think something that we all need. Thanks again for, you know, it was a wonderful conversation. Yeah.
Thanks, Harsha. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did in recording it. Well, it felt like a good casual chat, but with deeper insights with two experts in the space. I would definitely encourage you to strengthen your relationships with friends and industry colleagues during these times. It definitely throws up a lot of interesting ideas. One thing is quite clear from the conversation, as Sushir and Harsha mentioned, there is definitely optimism in the entrepreneur's mind when it comes to the state of solar rooftop projects, especially in the medium and long term. But of course, there is no hiding the fact that in the short term, it's definitely going to be on a survival mode. It is also quite clear that entrepreneurs who are in the game for the long term, like Harsha and Sushir, they are definitely using this time to evaluate new ideas and are also looking for avenues to collaborate with potential partners. So post COVID-19, I can definitely sense that there will be even more collaboration between entrepreneurs and companies, not just in India, but across the world. So as the saying goes, crisis will bring people together. In this case, clean tech entrepreneurs and companies together. To know more about Harsha and his work, you can check the website of EcoSoch, that is ecosoch.com, ecosoch. And to connect with Sushir, you can visit the website of Sunvest Capital, that is sunvestcapital.com. Of course, the links are in the show notes section of the podcast, so do check them out. And the action item, just like in the last few episodes, is quite simple: stay home, stay safe during this time. 2 weeks from now, we'll have another conversation, another story and related to the current situation around COVID-19. So it'll be with another special guest, so please do subscribe and get notified when the podcast is out. And if you've been following Mission Shunya, why not spread the word? It just takes 30 seconds to share the episode to 3 people in your network. So please consider doing that. So with that, signing off, this is Mission Shunya. Towards a zero carbon economy.